Hi, race fans. This is Steve Moreland, the host of North Sound Racing. Racetracks all over the Pacific Northwest are preparing to honor their 2008 series champions, and we're going to do the same. Join us on Thursday, October 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Cactus Moon Saloon, located on 128th and 8th Avenue West in South Everett. We'll have the inductees into the inaugural North Sound Racing Hall of Fame, plus our own champions to crown as well. Again, that's the Cactus Moon Saloon, 128th and 8th Avenue in Everett.
NASCAR runs here. The NASCAR Sprint Cup on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio, KRKO Everett. North Sound Racing with Steve Moreland continues on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.
Tony Stewart hoping to finally go to victory lane at Talladega Super Speedway. Regan Smith dives to the inside of the track. He's got the advantage coming down to the line at the stripe. Regan Smith is going to score the upset today at Talladega Super Speedway as he passes Tony Stewart driving down onto the apron coming to the start-finish line. Now, that's unofficial as of yet. They're still showing Tony Stewart as the race leader. Barney, he went all the way to the bottom of the racetrack. The DEI team is jumping up and down and celebrating, but NASCAR timing and scoring is not yet showing that Regan Smith actually scored the win.
Boy, it was a heck of a move by him. I don't know how it's all going to come out, but we'll have to wait and see what NASCAR rules on this, but he sure took a big chance and looked like he made it pay off. We'll see how it all comes out here in just a minute.
Welcome back to North Sound Racing. Final half hour before almost said Silver Tips. Canucks hockey coming up at 7:30 with the great John Shorthouse and Tom Larscheid. It's so much fun. If you want to learn how to do hockey broadcasts, listen to John Shorthouse. The guy is absolutely the man. A couple of things we need to bring up. You heard the nice man on the promo talk about our season-ending awards ceremony out at the Cactus Moon. And by all means, man, it would be an honor to have all of you guys show up. We'll be there from 7 and until 9 o'clock, and I'm hoping quite a while afterwards, as we deserve to kind of get a little tore up. Might be make it rough on Friday, but it's not like we haven't done it before. So, but yeah, again, check it out, the Cactus Moon Saloon. If you can't make it to our show, by all means, get to the Cactus Moon, because it's just one of the really cool sports bars around. And I understand that they have a deal now where they have this NFL package, and if you want to watch a game, you can get this little box, and it has the audio that no one else can hear but you. I don't know how they do it, but they're also working on putting an AM antenna up inside, so we'll be able to pipe our show through the PA system there. So I have a lot of guests, got to make a lot of phone calls this week, get a lot of people out there, but by all means, it's going to be a great time. Again, this reminder coming up Sunday morning at 9 a.m., the replay of the Bank of America 500, because they are racing on Saturday night. We have got a packed, and I mean packed day here on Saturday with Washington State Cougar football. That starts with the pregame show at 2:30 as they are visiting the Oregon State Beavers, and then Silvertips hockey coming up as the Everett Silvertips make their way over to Spokane. 6:30 p.m. pregame, John Rosen and crew will have the 7:05 p.m. faceoff live from Veterans Memorial Arena in Spokane. Let's get to the phone. One of our favorite guys on this show, and a favorite of mine for the 10 years that I've been involved in talking about auto racing around the Pacific Northwest, and I believe he is on line four, correct?
Yes, that
Let's do that. Let's bring in Tom Moore Moriarty, who won 7 championships out at Evergreen Speedway, I believe 3 in the mini stock division, 4 in the super stock division. Took a couple years off and then decided, heck, I'm going to go run down at South Sound Speedway. And boy, did he run this year. Tom?
How you doing?
Fine. How are you, pal?
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Did you listen to Bob Fox?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah. I tried to get Fritzley to hang around and kind of throw a few curveballs at you, but he thought it was probably more important to go eat.
Yeah, probably.
Then talk to you. How many wins did you get this season, Tom?
We got 7 total.
Uh-huh.
7 in a row, and we had a spectacular season. It was great.
Yeah, what did you find that you liked about that track? Because, you know, we made a trip down there, watched you, and it was a thin field at best. But, boy, you picked your way up around that track pretty quick.
Yeah, we finally got the setup right on the car, and Mike Barrett gives me everything I need to put underneath the car to make it go, and if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be back in a car. So I'd like to thank Mike and all the effort forth and everything, and really appreciate that. But, no, the crew worked hard, and the car finally came around this year.
Mike, did you hear that?
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact.
All right.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks, Steve and Carla, for having me on.
Hey, you're very welcome. Yeah, sorry, you were kind of, when we were talking earlier today, Tom, I kind of told you.
I have that guy on. Now I can't talk. I can't spill the beans.
Oh, well, I can put him on hold again if that would help you.
hey, Steve, before you go too much further, I want to thank you for having me on. And how come I don't get on here as much as George Wade and Bill Bailey and Terry Buell do?
Well, in all honesty, Mike, you're not all that great at looking at a clock.
I'm just kidding you.
Remember we had to synchronize our watches when you called me around 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't know how to tell time. That's
bad, Steve. I don't think that you're in a different time zone than we are here, but...
he is.
Is he?
Yeah, you haven't been to his house.
Oh, okay, that's what it is.
They don't even have power down there.
So let me tell you something. Tom Moriarty is one great driver. I want to emphasize on that, and I want to thank him and his crew. Todd Young is a great crew chief. Neil, all the guys that work on the car, Wayne, that came over from... what's that guy's name, Tom?
Oh, my buddy Bender.
Yeah.
John Bender's crew, they did a great job crewing that car. They take better care of that car than I would myself, let me tell you that. And I appreciate all the effort they put forward this year.
What's it like driving for a guy like Mike, Tom?
Oh, it's great because Mike's an old racer himself.
I'm putting you on hold, Mike. We won't hear a word you say.
Come on.
I've heard some of the stories about Mike racing, about the old blue Camaro and tearing it up and being fast and winning a lot of races. And you know, he always wanted to get a championship in this division down there, and always told me if I could get close to Tom Sweatman, then we're going someplace.
Mm-hmm.
We only did that once the previous year, and we didn't hit it very good on the setup. And then we went to work over the winter, and you know, I told Mike, I called him, I said, Mike, we really need this three-piece bar. And he says, Moriarty, you don't need this three-piece bar. He says, you're drunk. He says, you don't need it. He says, it's $750. I says, Mike, I promise you, just get me the three-piece bar, and we're going to go to work. So... And a couple days later, here comes this three-piece bar. Well, we put that in and did a little fine-tuning on the front-end geometry, as Galen Stewart says, roll centers. The roll centers on that car, and lo and behold, we got to the hog, and we beat the hog. So I'm pretty happy about that.
So, Tom, you got to tell me then, is that whole thing that makes that much difference over the conventional setup?
Well, I can tell you what, if you're centers were 5 inches high and 27 feet outside the right front of the right front tire, and Mike Barrett can contest that thing wouldn't turn until you hit the fence. All we did this winter is put that three-piece bar on there and fix the front roll centers, and that thing came around.
Wow!
That's all we did, and Sweatman's convinced we got 600 horsepower.
Steve. I told Tom from the get-go 2 years ago when he started driving for me, I said, all you got to do down here, buddy, is you get the hog in the mirror. Once you get him in the mirror and you bump him a couple of times in practice, you've got him.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, Tom did that, and he didn't only bump him in practice. He moved him out of the way in the race and went on to win 7 straight. I mean, it was incredible.
It was. It was a hell of a run. And actually, as the season went on, as I was checking, you know, obviously to see if Tom won every other week, but car counts really started picking up down there as well, too. So it's a testament to how well, you know, Nick and his family run that track. But, you know, Tom, talk about some of the competition because, you know, you had Tom Sweatman, but you had some pretty big studs coming in there throughout the season you had to contend with as well.
Yeah, we had Sweatman, and Presley's always tough. I don't know how these guys lay down a qualifying number down there. I can never get the qualifying down, but, you know, Mike told me, no, don't get discouraged about the qualifying. You know, just do the best you can. Qualifying doesn't pay the bills. The main pays the bills, so... we focused on that, and we had Danny Rhodes showed up a couple times, and Gary Lewis showed up for the 200, and he didn't have very good success down there. He got into a lapper there, or a lapper got into him, and he ended up in the turn three fence. But the 200 was probably the biggest race of my career, winning the 200 down there. We had 21 cars start, and you know, I led all 200 laps, and that's an accomplishment.
Oh, yeah.
And my team and Mike, the car owner, he really wanted to win that deal, and he had actually a couple cars in that, you know, with the Schultzes, and he works on Schultz's car, so we had four cars in that race, and I finished first, and Junior finished second there, and it was, man, I tell you, my heart was pumping for that one.
Now, Mike, in addition to having Tom, you had another car out there, and you know, like Tom mentioned, he was a pretty young kid in the car. How neat was it to have that other driver of yours, whose name escapes me, but I know you're going to remind me.
J.J. Hamilton.
Yeah,
I told you who you're talking about.
Yeah, Hamilton picking up from, you know, an obvious legend like, well, maybe legend a guy like Tom.
Besides my other top drivers, Rod Schultz Jr. and Senior, Senior's out there just to pretty much go around and watch this kid race cars, but Junior Schultz is a good driver. But on the other hand, Hamilton, for 2 years we won the limited late model championships in a row, and that kid is incredible. He can drive a race car. He's uncanny. Let me tell you, when he finished the 200 in fourth place, only to spin out two times and have to come from the back to get up to fourth, and he had fast time in that race. And I might add, everybody knows I'm a proponent of the crate motor, and it was with the crate motor he had fast time in the 200.
Mm-hmm.
And my hat goes off to that kid. He's since moved on to another team, and I wish him all the luck in the world. But that J.J. Hamilton's a great driver. You'll see more of him in the future.
Well, gentlemen, I truly thank you for your time. Tom, I hope it didn't ambush you too bad by bringing your car owner on. But
No, I'm glad to Mike. Like I say, without Mike Barrett, I wouldn't be racing. And hopefully we can put something together for the next year here. And you never know. You might see the old number five.
That'd be sweet.
You might see the old five back at Monroe.
That'd be cool.
I think you can count on it. And one other thing, Steve, I'd like to thank my kids, Jackie and Kaylin. I know, kids, I'm spending your inheritance, but that's too bad. I love you to death.
Mike, last year, Carl and I made a trip over to Port Angeles, and we watched J.J. run the late model there on Port Angeles Speedway. And
sure.
Was just curious, is there any future for late models on that track? Is it too rough, or what was your thoughts when you drove away from Port Angeles last year?
When I drove away last year, I was real disappointed, Steve. The track is subpar. It's a real rough racetrack. It's got a number of problems. Bert over there is doing a great job trying to promote the thing. I think they just got a little off schedule on the repaving program. But, and in his defense, I'd like to see that place flourish because this region needs a racetrack, other than Monroe, South Sound, Yakima, you know, the typical deals. We need to branch out and find another place for these cars to run.
I watching the results. Billy Weber snuck into Monroe here a couple weeks ago and won a race. I bet that put a little smile
Monroe.
On your face.
That kid didn't sneak in. He went up there and kicked their butt.
Yeah.
he did a great job. I love Billy to death. My nephew Matt Barrett ran go karts with him for many years, and he's a winner. Trust me, you'll see a lot more of Billy Weber in the future.
And I want to touch on one more thing before we let you go. And we don't get Mike on very often, Tom, so I'm going to direct these questions to him.
Oh, that's fine.
We had Bob Fox on a little earlier, and I don't know if you had a chance to listen to any of that.
Oh, yeah.
But
no, I was trying to get my speakers on my computer to work. I'm not an electronics guy.
I told you to start the generator, Barrett.
I got that fired up earlier.
Oh, good.
I remember... in the 80s, I believe it was, there was this mysterious blue number 6, about a 77 Chevy Nova, came out there and just lapped the field. Do you remember that?
Well, I remember it. As a matter of fact, that my crew chief then was Neil Durline, who's Tommy Sweatman's crew chief right now. That's what I attribute all the Tommy success to is my notes and Neil's knowledge. But, no, I remember that. We went up there a few times, and... actually had the dust off the top of the track up near the flag stand and get some of that rubber and rocks out of the way so I could race up there.
All I remember from that day was, I mean, we had all the great drivers racing at Evergreen Speedway, and some guy in a blue Nova, there was no way he could do that, went out and lapped the entire field. It was just amazing.
Yep. I remember they had to have a restart because at the end of the first lap I was leading, and they didn't think that was right. After the restart, I was leading at the end of the second lap.
Well, we know you're a definite proponent of, crate engines. Just want to thanks for your efforts on all that and what you do for late model racing, and congratulations to Tom on his championship.
Thanks well, thank you much.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time tonight, and we got to get a hockey game on the air here, so we're going to let you go. But, Tom, congratulations. Mike, congratulations to you, too. And when's your banquet, Tom?
It's November 15th, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yep, November 15th.
I might have to check that out. We could go down there, and we might have to bring back the Tom Moriarty bubblehead doll.
I think I'm going to have to invite Mike up to this this big party you guys are having.
I've already got that marked down, Tom.
Oh, man, that'd be so cool to have you guys there.
All right.
I'll be there.
Okay, cool. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your time tonight, gentlemen. All right. Take care. That was Tom Moriarty and Mike Barrett, a couple of good guys. Man, it'd be awesome to have them there. We like that. We'll be back. Final break. Doug Danstrom from the 2008 Washington State Motorsports Hall of Fame going to clue us in as we wrap it up here on North Sound Racing. Stick with us.
North Sound Racing with Steve Mortland continues on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.